Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you've had a wonderful and restful week and an opportunity to celebrate the great Feast of Pentecost, this end of the great season of Easter that ran through the celebration of the Ascension of our Lord, and then culminating in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What a gift, what a blessing. It's important for us to remember that Pentecost is not just a past historical event that we celebrate and remember once a year. We do celebrate it once a year, but the recent popes have reminded us, and Scripture is so clear, that what we live in, the Church lives by and lives in her perennial Pentecost, is what Pope Paul VI described it as. The perennial Pentecost, what does that mean? It means that the river of life that Jesus promised, that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, will flow and flow into the Church. It began on the day of Pentecost, and it will flow in and through the Church until the Lord comes again. And He makes all things new, and He'll be all in all, and we'll all be taken up into heaven as He brings and creates, you know, a new heaven and a new earth, and we're all living intimately in the community of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it begins now. There's a reading yesterday, one of the readings, and I think it was the extended vigil mass on Saturday night. It said, on the last and greatest day of the feast, this is from John 7, verses 37 through 39, the Feast of Tabernacles is what it's referring to. It says, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, let everyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. He said this in reference to the Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Spirit yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified. I love this passage. I mean, so much gold throughout the Gospel of John, but I love this passage because Jesus is speaking so clearly about what his ultimate goal is, you know, in his passing, in his passion, death, and resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and what it means that he became one of us, and he took on human flesh, and he lived the life we were all called to live. He gave to the Father what belonged to the Father. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loved his neighbor as himself his entire life. He filled the law full, and the whole point and the end of the law is love. It's love of God first and love of neighbor. And Jesus filled it full. And the Spirit that was with Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, which means he's the one that's filled with the Spirit. It's so important for us, friends, to see this and to celebrate it. Jesus didn't just become a sacrifice for sin, which is a central reason why he came, but in his person, he's the firstborn of a new creation, Scripture says. He's the beginning of God's new thing. The new creation began in the person of Jesus. What does that mean? It means the life of God in a human being, filling us with his life. So here's Jesus, and he became sacrifice for us to be able to take away our sin, which separated us from God. He washed us clean by his precious, precious blood. But he washed us clean so that the Spirit that dwells in him, the new man, could be given to all those who believe in him. And the Spirit would be like a stream of living water welling up inside us. It's the life of God beginning to well up inside us. We receive that at baptism. We're united to this victory and reality of Jesus when we were baptized into him. And now back to this reading, Jesus is saying, let anyone who thirsts come to me. We all thirst in the depths of the human heart, whether people know it or not, even those who deny God or oppose God. There's a longing for ultimate fulfillment. There's a longing for life. There's a longing to be united to a love beyond description. We're built for it. And the only place you can find it is in God. And God therefore sent his Son to become one of us so that he could unite us to the life that we were made for. It's God's mercy. It's God's gift to us. It's God's grace. And it's revealed in the person of Jesus. So Jesus knows the thirst that's in the human heart, that nothing in this world can satisfy us. Not a single thing. Not all the money in the world, not all the honor and the success the world can offer. It ultimately will leave us empty. Why? Because we were made for more. So much more. And Jesus said, here's his promise. And in this season, friends, where we're battling still against the COVID-19 virus, we're also facing tremendous challenges in our economy, loss of jobs, all kinds of things that come as a consequence to it. This is a moment where it's so important for the church to be fully the church now, to be able to lay hold of the promises of God and the realities of what Jesus has accomplished in us, so we can live in them and we can live from them. And so what did Jesus say? Rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me. We need to stand on that promise. We need to receive and walk in the full dignity of our baptism. You've been connected to this perennial flow of life which comes forth from the throne of God. It comes from the heart of the Messiah, from Jesus, who loves us and brings salvation to the world. And remember, salvation isn't just Jesus' death on the cross. It doesn't happen without that. It isn't just his rising. It doesn't happen without that either. But it includes his ascending to the right hand of the Father and taking in his human flesh, taking you and me. He's the second Adam. He's siring a new race of people where Adam failed to stand. Jesus is the victor. And so he takes humanity into the glorious presence of God. And humanity is fully glorified. It's united with God. There's no separation. There's perfect union in Jesus. This is what he's done for you and me. And for now, for all who believe in him, we share the destiny of Jesus. And so he's fulfilling his promise in our baptism, and he's fulfilling it today. Anyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He alone can quench the thirst of the human heart. Rivers of living water will well up in us. And what does that mean, well up in us? The power of God is released. What we heard yesterday, celebrating the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. You'll be witness to what? To all that I've been describing here, what's been accomplished in Jesus. And on that day, St. Peter made it clear. He said the Spirit that came upon them made them look like they were drunk. They were so filled with a new wine of God's Spirit, filled with joy, filled with being able to speak new languages, being able to manifest the power of the kingdom, the place, you know, the great wind that blew through. And everyone who saw them knew and understood something extraordinary is happening. And then Peter boldly stood up and said, let me tell you what's happening. And he began by interpreting the promise in Joel that God in the last days, and friends, we are in the last days. In the last days, he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. In the past, in the people of Israel, God poured out his Spirit on kings and on prophets, a select few. But now the Spirit of God is being poured out on all flesh. All Jesus said, all who believe in him, all who receive him. And I love John's little note at the end. He's helping the reader understand what the apostles knew and could understand at that point. He said this in reference to the Spirit, that those who come to believe in him or came to believe in him were to receive this gift. There was, of course, no Spirit yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. There's so much gold, friends, in the catechism that talks about this. I'm going to see if I can pull it up quick. Just a few paragraphs are so beautiful, kind of explaining what's going on. Let me just read here, paragraph 728. Jesus does not reveal the Spirit fully until he himself has been glorified through his death and resurrection. Friends, this is what salvation means. Passing from death and rising again by the life and the power of Jesus and entering into glory. Full salvation means, we have a foretaste of it already, the kingdom of God is here, but full salvation is making it all the way home and being clothed in glory with Jesus when he gives each one of us a share in his kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? The paragraph goes on. It says, nevertheless, little by little, he alludes to him, even in his teaching of the multitude. So Catechism talks here about the different ways, and Nicodemus, and the Samaritan woman, and what I just quoted to you from the Feast of Tabernacles. Only, this paragraph 729, only when the hour has arrived for his glorification does Jesus promise the coming of the Holy Spirit, since his death and resurrection will fulfill the promise made to the fathers. Jesus makes his life a perfect offering. Oh, in fact, friends, I was talking about Pentecost as a perennial Pentecost. That is, it's unceasing, this river of unending life that flows from the throne room of God. The other perennial grace he's given us is the Eucharist. I mean, the Eucharist is like an open heaven, right? I think it might be the third Eucharistic prayer at one point said, you know, from east to west, the perfect offering is made to the glory of God. So why has heaven been opened? Because the Father and the Son, when Jesus came, they're perfectly united. And then Jesus, representing us, gave the Father from the earth a perfect sacrifice, an offering of his life to God, which you and me, which all of us, we have been called and made for. So he's making right. He's gathering up the human race in his own person. He's putting us back on the right track. And so he gave to us the Eucharist at the Last Supper. And now the Eucharist is being offered throughout the world, and it will be offered throughout the world until he comes again in glory, because Jesus is ensuring not only that his church was brought to birth and the Spirit of God is in her, but it's that church that makes the perfect offering to God until he comes again in glory, because Jesus is ensuring that the Father will receive a perfect offering, and he unites us to that perfect offering, friends, every time we receive the Blessed Sacrament. And when we come together as a church and word and sacrament are the bread of life that we're fed on, and then we offer ourselves in the great amen, we say yes to the offer of Jesus to the Father. We say we want to be like him. We want to be united to him. We thank you, Father. We give glory to you for the gift of your beloved Son. And of course, today, friends, is the memorial of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother. She's the mother of the church. She's the first disciple. And she was the one. She's the first one. Remember, on the day of the Annunciation, What did the angel Gabriel say? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. She who was full of grace, she who was the first to really receive this outpouring, the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a unique way, so that she could, so the Son of God could be conceived in her womb, and she could participate in an entirely unique way in God's work of salvation for the human race. So beautiful. That's why she's our mother. That's why we say, thank you, Lord, for Our Lady. And she has such a profound role today, crowned Queen of Heaven and Earth, who's interceding at the right hand of the Father, who's right there with the Son, and she's praying for us, as are all the communion of saints praying for us, but she clearly leads the way. And she's the one who taught us how to walk by the Spirit, how to trust, how to contemplate, how to put Jesus at the center, how to do whatever Jesus is telling us to do, how to surrender to the beloved Son of God, who by his love and his grace and power and the divine plan of the Father, he was able to even save his own mother. Isn't that beautiful? And she was able to receive this grace from God to be uniquely prepared for the gift of Jesus, which would bring about the salvation of the world. Friends, we have so much to rejoice in. Lift up your heads today in these challenging times, and let the Spirit of God fill you with hope and confidence. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.